Hello, my name is Alex Hill, and I'm a writer and an actor, and I love absolutely everything to do with theatre. So because of that, I've had this ingenious, original idea to start a podcast. So I'd like to welcome you all to the Abandoned Theatre podcast. Now, this has kind of been inspired by, one, my love of theatre, but also my love of, I don't really know the term for this, but my love of list podcasts, that's what I'm going to call them. Essentially podcasts I listen to where the guests come on and they break things down into lists of things that they like. See Off Menu, James Acaster, Ed Campbell, food. See Brett Goldstein, Films to be Buried With, films. And it was listening to those kind of podcasts that made me think, oh my God, where's the theatre version of this? So I typed it in on the internet and I couldn't find anything. And I thought, surely there must be something. You know, someone must have used this format to do it with theatre. But turns out no one has. And if someone has, I'm really sorry. But to my knowledge, I couldn't find it. So I'm going to try and start it and see what happens. So here we go. This is the Abandoned Theatre podcast. The idea is that somewhere beyond reality, our own reality, there is a theatre with trees and vines and general muck growing all over it. And it hasn't been used in years and it is derelict. And it is crying out for a whole load of artistic directors to go in there and take turns at programming their own seasons based on the shows that mean the most to them. And hopefully they'll transform the abandoned theatre into a marvellous, wonderful working space. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. In my own head it makes sense, but I guess time will tell. And so who are the guests? And for me, it's not about just having actors and directors and creative people on here who work within the theatre industry, but people that just love theatre and see stuff and want to talk about it and how it inspired them. I guess the idea is just to get a bit of dialogue about people's favourite shows and what theatre really means to them. So without further ado, let's get into the very first episode of the Abandoned Theatre podcast. And my very first guest, the very first artistic director, is Sam Williams. Now, Sam Williams is a TikToker and a social media influencer. He's got over 260,000 followers on TikTok with 2.3 million likes. He has built this online presence. He does lots of content that he'll talk a bit more about on the podcast. And I met Sam a few years ago at a play because we both knew people that were in the cast of the play. Again, we'll speak more about that on the podcast, but he has been such a great mate over the last couple of years. He comes from a family of actors, and whilst not being an actor himself, he has such a raw passion for theatre. And as you'll hear, you'll find that all out. But he has been surrounded by it growing up. And if Sam went missing, it'd probably be the best bet to look for him in a theatre because he spends so much time there. Now, Sam and I recorded this episode back in November, so quite a little while ago now. And it was just so nice to speak to him and hear what shows have truly meant the most to him. He was so open and honest with the shows that he picks and why he picks them. Let's get on with it. This is the first ever episode of the Abandoned Theatre podcast with Sam Williams. Hello, my name is Alex Hill and welcome to the very first, the premiere, the debut episode of the Abandoned Theatre podcast, the show where guests come on and transform an abandoned theatre with the plays and musicals that mean the most to them. And for our very first guest, I'm joined by social media influencer, TikTok star and all-round good mate, Mr. Sam Williams.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
No, of course. How does it feel to be the very first guest?
I'm honoured. When you gave me the message, I was like, yeah, 100%. I was like, this is well up my alley.
You do a lot of podcasts and things like that, don't you? So this isn't like new territory for you.
It's not new territory, but like the others just talk about me. This is talking about something I'm really passionate about. So I'm really excited about it.
Which is?
Theatre.
That's what this podcast is aiming to do, is getting people to chat more about the shows that they love. So yeah, how have you been? What are you up to at the moment?
Just filming videos, and like Christmas is coming up, so it's crazy. My schedule is literally crazy every day. Got a different event. Like, we're going to the theatre tonight.
To see Peter Pan Goes Wrong.
Yeah.
Very
excited. I hope it goes wrong.
I've never seen a Goes Wrong show live. Actually, it's a lie. I saw a comedy about bank robbery a few years ago.
I wouldn't call that a gone wrong show.
No.
Though.
Mischief, though, right?
It's Mischief, but that was like slightly on the spin off.
Okay.
This is a proper like Goes Wrong.
Nice.
So you're going to be in for a treat.
I'm really excited.
Oh, okay,
I'm really excited. I saw Sunset Boulevard again last night.
A corker.
So good. Could well be the show of the year for me.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is phenomenal. I think it's the best thing in the West End at the moment.
Wow. That's a
statement.
Hands down. Is a big old statement. I wonder if it's going to make your list today.
It might well do.
Yeah?
It might well do.
So when did you get into theatre? Like, why is it such an important thing to you?
I mean, my whole family are in theatre. My mum's in theatre, my girlfriend's in theatre, my grandma's in theatre. I think when I was younger, I wanted to be a stage manager. Then I wanted to be something else. And then I wanted to just work in theatre. Then I went into education in theatre. And I think that there's so much when I was younger. It was like this whole world that just kind of appeared. And I loved to get to know actors and stuff. I think the first kind of thing that I remember is probably at the RSC down in Stratford.
Okay.
And it was just me hanging out with a load of fun actors playing games and just having fun over various Christmases.
Nice.
But I think for me, it was always going to be downhill because my mum and my grandma are very well known.
It's been in the family.
It is.
Sure.
And so there was that pressure of like, are you going to go into theatre? Are you going to enjoy theatre? Is this something you're passionate about? And actually, I think I've kind of taken up that bug. But like, I'll never be in that theatre world.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm like, my experiences of like being backstage, like I'll never be able to do that with my kids because I'm not in that world.
Sure.
So that for me, when I was a child, when I went into school and I was like, oh yeah, I just went backstage and I hung out with a load of actors, age like 7, going into like school and being like, oh, I had this amazing thing. Or we would go to, different shows as in primary school and secondary school, and a lot of them I had already seen or I knew people in it aged 8 or 9.
Such an amazing thing to be kind of surrounded by at such an early age.
Yeah, I think that from a young age going to the theatre made me who I am today.
Sure.
I think, and it was very important in my life, and I think as soon as I started getting my independence and going to theatre, I think it made me kind of who I am and why I love theatre is because that's kind of why I know about London is because I've mapped out London from the theatres.
Yeah, I'm like that.
And it's so, the only way I got around London.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I need to head up to the St. Martin's, but I'm at the Noel Coward. So like, how do I map that out?
Yeah.
And so that was what I loved about it, was that I knew London because of the locations of the theatres. And I still do it. I'm like, oh, I need to get to the Dominion. So which road do I need to go from the Phoenix to the... Oh, I can just head up that road. And I love theatre. It's very much in my blood.
Well, congratulations, anyway.
Thanks.
On your appointment.
Thank you. I am honoured that I have been appointed.
Yeah.
And it's been a dream come true. So thank you very much for asking.
No, of course. I mean, the theatre's been kind of derelict and abandoned for a few years now. So.
Yeah. How many seats would it hold?
Well, that's up to you.
Ooh.
That's up to you, mate. And my the name. Have you had a think
name.
About the name?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few names. But like if...
You can pick an existing name if you want.
Something like the Polka.
The Polka.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that name. It's like a bit edgy
yeah,
and a bit childish. So you can kind of go in two ways with it.
Nice.
I'd also call it the SMO Playhouse. My initials are SMOW.
Great.
So I could call it the SMO Playhouse, which is different to the Playhouse.
Yeah.
So that would
the
be SMO fine.
Playhouse. I mean, there's playhouses everywhere, right?
There are loads of playhouses. You know. So. But yeah,
wicked.
The SMO Playhouse.
The SMO Playhouse. Cool.
Or Polka.
Or Polka.
Yeah. Either one.
Yeah.
I'm happy with.
Go on, pick one.
It's got to be SMO Playhouse.
So, Sam, the artistic director of the SMO Playhouse, you've been appointed.
Got my best tie on, best suit.
Best suit, best tie. And it is your job to program a season of shows that will get this place back up and running. And for the first show, you are going to program the first show that you, little Sammy Williams, saw.
This is a show that is going to require a lot of work. A lot of work. But it has just been announced that it is coming back, and that was Starlight Express.
Okay.
That was number one. That was my first ever experience at the Apollo Victoria.
Wow. When was that?
I was 4. Wow. And I saw it. And it, like, I can remember it so clearly to this day. Yeah. I was on mum's lap, and I remember it just being so exciting and so bright and so colourful and loud. So when I saw that it was coming back, I was like, oh, I cannot wait for this.
Coming back to the Troubadour. Wembley,
Troubadour, yeah. Wow. So I think it will run there for years.
Yeah.
I think it will do.
Are you excited?
I can't wait. I might have already booked my tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
First preview?
No. I never like a first preview. It scares me. It scares me to watch other people being like, oh, it's the first time in front of an audience. Yeah, what's going to get the laughs? What's going to...
I think first previews are always kind of really scary, aren't they?
Yeah.
For everyone involved. Starlight Express. So what would you do with it in your theatre in the SMO Playhouse?
I would make it as big as possible.
Right.
But in my head, my theatre's quite small and indie, so I don't quite know how I would do it.
Is it always done on roller skates? Is that
it's always done. Yeah, so they've got like ones in Germany. They did, I think, have one in Dubai at one point. I might be getting that totally wrong, but they've definitely had like 4 or 5 different versions of it around the world. Like the German one, it's been going for years.
Yeah,
been going for absolutely years, and it's still on. So
they
I think they love it
in Germany, don't they?
Yeah, they love it.
They've got a purpose built thing for it, don't they?
So I think that's what they're doing with the Troubadour. Rumours, not heard anything.
Amazing. Do you remember who was in it when you saw it?
I can't remember who was in it, actually, which is really bad.
Later on.
I must have a programme somewhere. But yeah, it's one of those shows where I think as a first experience of the theatre, you go, oh my God, there are people on roller skates, like skating like up in the air, and it's mad. Yeah. And people doing flips and stuff. I can remember it so clearly. And I think that that's the joy of theatre, is when you see something that is so crazy and so out there that you go, how have they done this in a theatre?
Mm.
And like, I went like closer to the end of the run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still flawless when I saw it.
Do you think it was the thing that like made you catch the theatre bug? Or do you reckon that was a show later on? I know it's the first show that you saw.
I could talk about Starlight with such good memories, even though I was 4. I could still be like, oh my God, that was phenomenal, that show. Like, the costumes were awesome. The lights were awesome. And it was like one of the first times that, I went into the theatre and actually saw the show. I obviously saw shows, but cannot remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the first show I properly remember is Starlight, and I think it was, like, the best thing to see to, like, spark my interest in theatre. Because it just, like, instantly I was like, what is this amazing place? And growing up, it just got better and better over the years. And now that Starlight's coming back, it's a very memorable moment for me with theatre.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll look back on
bit of a
such,
full circle,
exactly.
Moment. Yeah, returning
of
to
like
the roots.
I've probably seen thousands of shows since I last saw Starlight. So when it comes back round, it will be like nice, make me feel like a child again. I'll get very overexcited.
It's a great first pick.
I'll probably cry.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's going to be so exciting.
The second show is your favorite play.
Now. There are two picks here.
Okay.
One of them It's very close to home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really embarrassing.
Okay.
It's why I stuck a flare up my ass for England.
God.
No, genuinely, genuinely, I saw that show three times and every single time I did not have a bad word to say about it. There was not, if anyone doesn't know, Alex wrote it and he starred in it and it was an hour of just pure talent. It was so good.
This whole podcast is going to look like one big plug from our show now, isn't it?
Well, within the first 15 minutes, you brought up my play.
Thank you. That's very kind of
you. No, genuinely, like, I saw it in Edinburgh. I took a few influencer mates. And both of them just still talk about it to this day.
They were lovely, actually.
Yeah, they're great. But, like, I know people that went, like, as well to the Fringe. And they were, like, gobsmacked. Like, they really, like, it's something special that you've done there.
Thank you very much, mate. Thank you. What is your other pick?
Andrew Scott at the Old Vic in...
Present Laughter?
That's the one.
Is it? Oh, wow, okay.
Present Laughter. I literally tip of my tongue. I thought that was a phenomenal play.
Yeah.
I as soon as Andrew Scott stepped on that stage, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, talent. Like, whoever is in this part... Mm. Has such a duty to lead this cast. And, like, yeah, I couldn't take my eyes off him. And
he
I came
just
out.
Owned the space in that show.
And I came out at the end, I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's a phenomenal show.
Yeah.
And it's like, I grew up with mum doing a lot of farce.
Mm-hmm.
So I love farce. I think it's great. So if you can get it correct, it's brilliant.
Mm.
I also want to put in Noises Off.
Okay.
Because I think Noises Off is another great shout.
Wow. So we've got three picks. I'm gonna have to push you for
picks.
One pick. Otherwise, this season's going to be...
Noises Off.
Noises Off.
Because I think that it's a really well-structured play.
Great.
And with the right cast, I think it's really, really funny.
So we've got Starlight Express, Noises Off at the Smo Playhouse.
At the Smo Playhouse. Yeah.
Amazing. So the third show that you're going to put in is a show that you were involved with. Now, this doesn't have to be a show that you were in as an actor. It could be a show that you just had some sort of kind of connection to, whether you were maybe front of house or backstage, or you were maybe part of the marketing team, something like that.
Ooh. Okay, so I used to work up at the Park Theatre in Finsbury
Did you?
Park. Yeah, behind the bar at Finsbury Park.
Oh, wow.
Before, like when I was 18, 19, until I was 20.
Wow.
So I was there for like 2.5, nearly 3 years. Tick, Tick, Boom was there.
Yeah.
And it was a successful run, but not like super successful that it sold out.
Sure.
And I remember going on a Thursday matinee and being like, what is this show? I love Rent. I think Rent is a genius mm-hmm. show. So I was like, this is awesome, this show. It's a bit rocky. It was in a tiny space. It was in the Park 90. Three people in the show. And I was like, this is just awesome. So I think that, and also it was the first time my name has ever been in a program.
Wow, okay.
Because they upgraded it. They had done the season and that was the first show that I saw my name in the program that people were selling.
Right.
I was like, this is mad that my name's in a program for being behind the bar.
That's such a good thing that they do that as well and recognise kind of across the board the whole company that puts a show on stage, because it's easy to forget that sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it was the show that I did a get out of. One of my mates who worked there was like, oh, do you want a bit of extra money? I was like, yeah, sure. He was like, come in and do the get out on the Sunday. And so I went in. Did the get out for Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, wicked. You really were involved in that show.
Yeah, like, I think because I wanted to be a stage manager or just, like, I had way more interest in behind the scenes, not as an actor,
mm-hmm.
I just instantly was like, I want to do anything at the park that will be anything but acting. So I was, like, one of the days I was, like, a ticket person. The next day I was selling programs. The next day I was, like, helping out in the offices. I was on, like, box office for an afternoon. And it's stuff like that I really just... I loved that theatre.
Just being in and around that atmosphere. And
oh, totally. And always having something on. always, if it's not a show, then it's a talk or a workshop, or there was like a space upstairs which did like amateur dramatics, and it's stuff like that that I was like, I love this atmosphere of having like so many different things going
always
on.
Always busy. Yeah.
And always like decent enough shows that you could be like, oh, this is sick.
Yeah. Have you seen Tick, Tick, Boom, the film?
It's one of my favourites.
Is it?
I absolutely love it.
So good. I've never seen a stage production or a stage production of it. But I remember watching the film with Millie, and we just like, yeah, we listened to that soundtrack all the time. Absolutely love it. But Rent was the thing that got Jonathan Larson so massive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so he wrote Tick, Tick, Boom before that, did he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Because it's all about his struggle of being a musical composer, right?
Yeah. And it's such a good story as well.
Mm.
Even though it's a true story, it's such an important story as well, I think. If you're talking about like the greats of the musical theatre writing.
And the grind as well.
It's crazy. And just seeing him like in the diner, seeing him like doing the workshops, like it really shows you what
the mundanity of
exactly
day to day acting life and creative life.
And that's what I loved about the film, was that I was just like, this is it's showing with such beauty what an actor or a writer is.
Yeah.
And the struggles that come with being amazing and successful, to also the lows of just working and having to pay the bills. But I would say that Tick, Tick, Boom was the show that I was most involved with, I think.
So number four is the most recent show that you saw.
Ocean at the End of the Lane.
It is, isn't it?
It is. It so is. On Saturday, the final show. This is the Tuesday after the final show. We are both very upset it's ended.
Yeah, so for a bit more context as well, Sam and I met because of that show, because my partner Millie was playing the lead, Letty Emstock, and Sam's mum was playing Millie's onstage mum.
Indeed.
Old Mrs. Emstock. Onstage grandma.
Grandmother.
Sorry.
So,
and that's bad that I've so made Millie a movie because I've seen it 12 related. Times.
Because if I'm related to mum, then I'm related to Millie in some way.
So yeah, it all was linked around. But it's been such an amazing year, kind of following their journey around.
Yeah, we went out to Dublin to just hang out.
Yeah.
We had some adventures. We've also done a load of other places that we've enjoyed going to. And
yeah, so they did the UK tour from last December, and it's then transferred to the West End and finished on Saturday night.
It's a very good show.
Very good show. I mean, I knew it would have a spot for you on this list somewhere. But it's kind of...
Yeah, it was my last seen show.
Yeah. Just the most beautiful show as
beautiful
well.
Show, beautiful people in it.
And a show that you can watch so many times because there's something else in it every time that you of see and discover.
Yeah. And there's like, there's still illusions in the show that I asked Mum 3 weeks how they worked. She was like, I'm not telling you now. No. Not after a year. You've seen it like 19 times and I'm not going to tell you now how it works.
Yeah, absolutely magical show. An amazing one to have in your season. So that is Starlight Express, Noises Off, Tick, Tick, Boom, and The Ocean at the End of the Lane. The next show is a show that everyone seems to love, but you don't quite love.
Oh, this is so controversial.
Go on.
It's going to be Cabaret.
Cabaret. Okay.
As in, like, my grandma was in it. The only reason I didn't like it was I just didn't understand the story.
Sure.
And I didn't think that when I was going into it, I thought I knew the story already. I did it in school. Okay. But obviously, it's chopped down.
Were you in it?
I was stage manager.
Stage manager, okay.
ASM. Nice. Not full stage manager. That got given to Luke Smith.
Shout out to Luke Smith.
Shout out to Luke Smith. He's still a friend. But he became stage manager because I had other things on the weekend.
Sure.
And they were like, listen, we can't give you full stage manager. And I was the only one that went up for stage manager as well, I think. Sorry, Luke. But yeah, I think the story of it, I'm just not mad at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's...
When was your grandma in it?
70... Might have been the 80s. It was at the Palace Theatre.
Sally Bowles?
Yeah.
I bet she was incredible.
Yeah, I've seen videos.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's also not my type of musical. So I have like a very specific type of musical that I like. And if it's not the one that I want or I expect, it instantly becomes quite tricky.
Okay, so your favourite Shakespeare?
Hamlet. It's got to be Hamlet.
Is it?
Oh my God, I love Hamlet.
The jugular.
I genuinely think it's the best Shakespeare.
I love Hamlet.
It's the one that I've seen the most.
What versions have you seen?
I saw Rory Kinnear's at the National.
Nice.
Which I just, like, changed me. With Shakespeare, I was always dyslexic as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I always used to understand Shakespeare because it always used to be in a rhythm. But it needed to be clear and concise for me to understand it fully the first time round. So, like, I would need to see the show, like, 2 or 3 times for me to be like, oh, I get it now. Whereas that, I think, was my first time seeing Hamlet. I'm pretty sure. And it was, like, 3.5 hours long. But it was, like, modern. And it just, like, made so much sense. Rory Kinnear was so good in it.
How old were you when you saw it?
Must have been, like, 9 or 10.
Wow.
And I just sat there.
As young as that? Wow.
Yeah. I just sat there. I was like, I genuinely, I think this is phenomenal. And
did you understand it all?
Oh, fully.
Yeah.
Fully understood it. I had never read it or anything before, but I was like, this is such an impressive play if you're Hamlet. Like, if you can take up a stage for what, like 3.5 hours plus, then you've got something special. And then I saw as well, I saw the Andrew Scott one.
You
Andrew
did.
Scott's meant, I was but I only ask saw about it. That. I only saw it online.
Okay,
but it still had the same. I still had the same experience seeing that than I did for Rory's because I found it so powerful, so moving. But also, I think with Shakespeare, it's really important to have a modern Shakespeare, and to keep it relevant to the youth, but also keeping the language in there. I think for me, what worked was that I saw it visually.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I saw it visually, I totally understood.
Well, that's
it.
What they say. It's all about.
Yeah.
It's all about.
And if you get
being heard and seeing it, and,
exactly,
rather than sitting down and reading it and analysing it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you experience this, but like if you find one really good production, that's going to be the production that you always base it on.
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
If with Hamlet, I'll always base it on Rory's, because that's the first one I remember, but also the clearest one I remember.
Sure.
The most exciting I've read.
Who would you cast as your Hamlet?
That's really tricky. I would love to see Rory doing it again. I would love to see Andrew Scott.
He played Hamlet then?
Yeah. I would, like, are you talking about someone who's never played it?
No, they can be someone you've seen before.
Yeah.
If you want to get him to reprise that role.
I kind of want to see Andrew Scott doing it, because I think whatever he does is just glorious.
Gold dust.
Yeah. Gold like, we dust both Scott. Saw Vanya recently.
We did.
And it's, like, a powerhouse.
It's just relentlessly good, isn't it?
Like, everything he does is just ridiculous, and it's just always going to be something that I go and see and be like, oh, he's just so good. Me in the corner as a fanboy. I'll be waving the flag at the back. The Andrew Scott fanboy.
Your Andrew Scott flag. Cool. What is a show that you remember, not necessarily because of the show itself, but because of the experience that you had around seeing it?
Now, I had quite a few of these, but then I cut it down because I was like, I don't want to repeat the same question twice.
Sure.
I'm going to say Waitress when I saw it on Broadway. Now, this wasn't...
On Broadway?
Yeah,
okay.
So this wasn't a show that I really remember, but it was my first Broadway show as an adult who was let loose on New York for 10 days, which was genuinely like I got taken out to New York, which was amazing. And my grandma was doing work out there, and I just went round New York buying tickets for different shows. And I had been watching the Waitress vlogs on Broadway.com. So I was like, oh, I should go and see that. went to go in, bought my ticket. I think it was like $100. Looking back on it, that's...
It's astronomical.
Absolutely ridiculous. But Broadway do it so differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go and see a Broadway show and you're like, this is so much better.
Yeah.
So much better than the West End. I think just the energy and everything, the atmosphere of a Broadway show is so different to the West End. I think we're very polite.
Yeah.
In the UK. And I think that when you go to Broadway and you see a show where people are cheering and people are smiling and the merchandise is like unbelievable. Like halfway through the show.
You love your merchandise.
I love
as well,
my
don't
merchandise.
You?
We're literally surrounded by merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, in the interval, they had like mini pies that they were selling, astronomical, probably like $10 for like a tiny pie that they bought around the corner. But you kept the ramekin and everything. And I kept it for like 3 years. And like when you go to get a drink, you get it in a cup, which is the show that you're seeing is like printed on the cup. And it's like an extra...
Yeah, they still do that now, don't they?
It's an extra like $2.
But you have to get a cup.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't get a drink without the cup.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Broadway?
I have, yeah. I went in January again.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah. I've seen a couple of things on Broadway. I saw the original Come From Away on Broadway, which was amazing.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, such a kind of... I mean, that would probably be on a list of mine, but it was so unexpected then because it was kind of just starting up. And, yeah, blew my mind.
It's a magical place, Broadway.
What is your favourite musical?
Ah, we have come to my favourite question.
Yeah.
As you can clearly see around my room right now, Alex, it's Dear Evan Hansen. I don't know if...
I thought it might be.
Did you think? Just a little bit.
I kind of guessed that one, mate.
We're currently surrounded by lanyards.
We've got the Connor Murphy cast. Is that actually...
Yeah,
can you buy that? Was that something you could buy?
That's something that I got given. That's Sam Tutty's actual cast that was made on stage.
You're lying.
Nope.
Wow.
That I've got an opening night program from Dear Evan Hansen completely signed.
You've also got is that from the Noel Coward? That
yeah. So that's
billboard.
So
massive.
Outside the stage door, they had the barriers. And on the barriers were these security boards that said Dear Evan Hansen on it. And I went the day after it ended. I went to the final night and they had sold out programs and merch and everything. And I was like, I've been looking at those for ages. And I was like, I want it. I want it really badly. So I went up the day after when they were doing the Get Out. I said to the builders, I was like, are you going to keep those? They were like, no, we're going to chuck them away. I was like, can I just take one? So I went through finding the best one. And then, my friend at Koha, which is the little restaurant next door to the Coward, he was like, I know you loved it so much, so I got you two. And they're currently downstairs at Koha waiting for me to take them.
Oh, my God.
And it's
huge.
It's literally one of the best
faces
things.
Of all... They're just...
They're fans, yeah.
Right? I remember that, and they got people to
send
their
in.
Photo. Is your photo on there?
It's not. I annoyingly missed out because I saw it late. But also my love for Dear Evan Hansen, when I went out to Broadway that time where I saw Waitress, the one show I wanted to see was Dear Evan Hansen. And they were like, it's going to be really tricky to get you in. I said to my grandma, I was like, do you have a free evening? I'd love to take you as well. So we went as a four and they managed to get us in to the last week of Ben Platt.
No.
Genuinely,
really,
we walked in.
I thought I was under the impression that you've seen it first time in London.
No, so I went to see it on Broadway with Ben Platt. I met Ben Platt out there, and I remember sitting down in the seat. I've got photos and
mate,
everything.
You must have had one hell of a dramagasm over
there. It was such a strange thing because, like, for me, I knew that I loved it, but I didn't want it to disappoint. And so I sat there knowing it would make me cry.
Yeah.
So I sat there. Then at the interval, I turned to my grandma's assistant and our friend, Jen. She was like in floods. Ma was in floods. And I was like really trying to hold it together. And I was like, this is genuinely one of the greatest things I've ever been slapped in the face by. I was like, I just sat there just amazed. And during the interval, they were like, oh, would you like to meet the cast? And I was like, I'm not sure, we've got a long day tomorrow. I was like, please, please. I was like, I have listened to this musical for 6 months. I was like, please, religiously, I have not listened to anything. I was like, please, can we just go and say a quick hello? So she was like, okay, yes. So met Ben Platt, met everyone else, got my programme signed and everything.
And that's the programme you've got there, is it?
Oh, no, that's from London. My Ben Platt one is back at my grandma's. And literally ever since, it's been just kind of like an obsession. I've got like a Dear Evan Hansen pin on my laptop.
What is it about the show that means so much to you?
I think it resonated with me so quickly that it was like, it's all about like feeling part of a team and not feeling alone and stuff, that instantly I was like, oh my God. I was like, this, as a kid, this really resonates with me. And I was like, it's so loud. It's Pacer Campbell, who wrote Greatest Showman as well. That was later on, obviously. But I was like, they're geniuses. I was like, this is the first musical I think I've ever seen, other than another thing I'll mention later in another question, that resonates with me this hard. So I remember saying to Mum after the London one, I just like broke down. I saw the third preview. I just broke down. She's like, why are you crying? And I was like, but I have no words. I was like, I can't speak to you right now because I have no words. I'm so happy that people resonated with this show as much as this. Like, people are coming, loving it. And it meant so much to me, my mates. And what was nice is that it was in a theatre that I loved. It was in the Noel Coward. And yeah, I saw that, I think, 15 times, which was just nuts.
That is nuts. 15. That's close to your Oceans record. I feel like this is going to make your last question quite hard. Because the last show that you need to programme is the most transformative show for you. So I feel like Dear Evan Hansen could have been that.
It could have been. This is what I mean. There were so many that I was going to double up on. But I think I've kept the best till last. Not best till last, but like the most transformative show I've ever seen is Hair. I saw that at the Gielgud. And I remember Mum going to see it and being like, it's phenomenal. And then going to see it at a really young age when I didn't really know who I was. And then suddenly for like a whole summer, I just became a massive hippie with like really long hair and just like really enjoyed life and was like out in the garden every day, just like playing with mates, not being on my like PlayStation or anything. And that was the joy of that summer. But I think that show meant as much to me as Dear Evan Hansen meant to me, but just at a different time.
It literally had the ability to kind of change your course.
Oh, 100%.
Day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hit on, I think, the day before I broke up for summer.
Right, okay. That's when you went to see it, the night before the last
Yeah, the last day of school. And I think it literally transformed my life. That one day, I was like, this is the first show ever that has really resonated with me.
A great soundtrack as well, isn't it?
It's a cracking soundtrack. And yet again, I got to know the cast really well. And I went out for dinners with them. And it was just a really happy time.
How old were you?
13.
Okay, so kind of impressionable age.
I'm pretty sure 13. Yeah, it was the last year of my primary school. So I remember it so clearly that I was terrified to go to secondary. And I was going from a year group of 40 to a year group of like 300. But yeah, I would say that Hair transformed me and my passion for theatre. I don't think my passion for theatre would have been there if Hair hadn't hit at that exact right moment. It hit at the perfect time for me that it just kind of allowed me to kind of be who I wanted for a summer before I started a big, scary, terrifying school and actually deal with exams and important things.
It's a great, great answer. Again, another really lovely, passionate answer for a show that clearly means so much to you. And it's the last show of your season. So the Smo Playhouse season starts off with Starlight Express.
It's a good start.
Then we've got Noises Off.
Always good.
Tick, Tick, Boom. The Ocean at the End of the Lane. Hamlet. Waitress. Dear Evan Hansen. And Hair.
It's massively musicals.
It's really musical theatre based.
I apologise for that one.
No, don't be. You know. But are you more of a musical theatre person?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Unless it's Shakespeare.
So something that we're going to do on the podcast as well is do an encore question. So you've had your amazing season at the Smo Playhouse, but you have to revive one of your picks. What pick, what show are you going to choose?
I'd have Dear Evan Hansen. I'd have that first time seeing it in London. That's what I would bring back. That one time. But then Hair. I think it would have to be Dear Evan Hansen. I think it spoke to me at the exact right point for me, as you can clearly see, and we're covered in it. It's I'm gonna have preview 3 of the London run. Sitting row 4.
As the encore of the Smo Playhouse.
Of the Smo Playhouse.
Sam, you've been brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. That was an amazing first season. Is there anything else that you'd like to plug before we go?
My TikTok.
Yeah, what's your TikTok?
Sam.Williams1.
Yeah.
I sometimes post theatre content, but massively it's London content, stuff happening in London, pop-ups, new openings. And yeah, I do chuck in a load of theatre when I don't have any content because I just film every show I go and see.
And you love theatre?
I love theatre. That can be the title of this podcast. I love theatre. Sam Williams.
Sam, you've been great. Thank you so much for being our first guest on the Abandoned Theatre podcast.
It's been an honour.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much for listening to that first episode of the Abandoned Theatre podcast. Sam was such a brilliant guest to have on. Please go and show him some love online. He has got a brilliant TikTok page, brilliant Instagram. Go check out the content that he makes. It is really superb. Now, before I go, tickets for my show, Why I Stuck a Flower Up My Arse for England, which Sam really kindly mentioned in the episode, are on sale now. The show is very excitingly returning after doing it at Edinburgh Fringe and at the Old Red Lion Theatre last year. And we are going over to the Southwark Playhouse Borough between the 17th of April and the 4th of May. So you can get your tickets at www.southwarkplayhouse.co.uk. It's a one-man show directed by the brilliant Sean Turner, and it is all about a real life incident, really, that I've fictionalized, where a football fan stuck a flare between his bum cheeks before the Euro 2020 final a few years ago. So if that sounds like it floats your boat, go get your tickets now. Going forwards, I'm hoping to release these episodes weekly on Mondays, so it's a nice start to a fresh new week. Follow us on Instagram at Abandoned Theatre Pod. And on X, we are at Aban, A-B-A-N, Theatre Pod. So that's all for this week. I'll see you next Monday for another episode of the Abandoned Theatre Podcast. The Abandoned Theatre Podcast is hosted by me, Alex Hill, and produced by Roxy Dog Productions.